I have learned that it is amazing what a good walk can do for a person. On more than one occasion, I've had the presence of mind, I know my wife has as well, to grab our two golden retrievers and head outside for a brisk 20 to 30 minute walk. There's just something about the combination of fresh air and the movement of your body and the space to think is just soothing to a person's mind, body, and soul. And in fact, I've learned that a lot can change from a single walk. You can go from stressed to relaxed, overwhelmed to clear-headed, lethargic to productive, all while increasing your endorphin levels, getting a little bit of exercise, and letting your beautiful little dog sniff every corner of the one-mile jaunt you take, right? Studies have even shown that just a five-minute walk can boost and improve your sleep, your thinking, your learning, and your overall mood. Now, I have learned also that not all walks are created equal. For instance, I am not much of a hiker. Some of you know that. And I know we live in like one of the hiking capitals of America, but it's just not for me. For some of you, that's a great way to go on a walk. I, on the other hand, I love a good walk through a golf course. In fact, I was recently gifted the opportunity to play golf and walk one of the most iconic golf courses in America, Pebble Beach. And when I was about to tee off, the ranger there, the marshal, said, "Do you want to ride in a car? Do you want to walk?" I was like, "I'm walking this. I want to see every blade of grass at Pebble Beach." And I tell you, my game, I saw every blade of grass at Pebble Beach. But that said, not everyone would agree with me even on that. You know, Mark Twain famously once said that golf is a good walk spoiled, which some of you who have golfed before would say, yeah, it is. But here's the thing, regardless of how you choose to go for a walk, the fact remains the same. A lot can change while you're getting in your steps. In fact, there may be no walk as life-changing as one that we see by two people taken in the Bible. And so here at Genesis, we use an app called the YouVersion Bible app. It's totally free. And you can download that, and then you can go into more and events, and you can actually follow along with the passage I'm going to read here today. If you have your Bible with you, we're going to be in Luke chapter 24. If you don't want to do any of that, it's totally fine. All the scriptures and text is going to be on the screen for you as well. And as you do that, let me just welcome you officially, say happy Easter to you. There's this longstanding tradition in the church whereby the leader or the pastor will say to the congregation, he'll say or she'll say, "He's risen," and they'll respond, "He's risen indeed." And so let's try that this morning, shall we? He's risen. He's risen. We can do better than that. He's risen.
He's risen.
He has risen indeed. Very good. You look good this morning. You sound good this morning. And most of you smell good this morning. It's quite a gift to be around all of you. But let me just reiterate what Pastor DJ said a little bit earlier and welcome, especially those of you who are visiting us for the first time. It's our honor to have you here. And I will actually be at our VIP tables just outside in the lobby. There's a big balloon set up out there. And I would love to meet you, get to know you, hand you one of those free gifts. If you love coffee and you love chocolate, don't miss out on the free gift. I promise it's worth your time. We just want to say hi. So before we jump into the story for today, I just want to give a little context for what's happened up to this point in Luke chapter 24. Luke is one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that records the life of Jesus. And at the end of chapter 23, and into the early part of chapter 24, a lot happens. The week before Easter Sunday, Jesus comes into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, and people line the streets to welcome him. And as he does, they're singing and they're shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord." Their Savior, the Messiah, has finally arrived, and they are ecstatic for his arrival into Jerusalem. He is going to be the one who finally sets everything right, who flips the script on the world powers, namely the Roman Empire at the time, and they're ecstatic. But 4 days later, on Thursday, they decide, you know what? We'd rather set Barabbas, a murderer, free, and you arrest and kill Jesus. 4 days later, Jesus is arrested, he's placed on trial, And he is falsely accused by the religious leaders and Romans. And one day later, 5 days after Palm Sunday, where he rides in on a donkey and people sing his praises, 5 days later on Friday, Jesus is tortured, he's crucified, he dies to his very death, and he is buried in a tomb. But on Sunday, a group of women go to the tomb to further embalm Jesus, only to see, to their surprise, the tomb completely empty. And word begins to spread about Jesus' disappearance, but not everyone is quite aware of it. There's these rumors that are going around that the tomb was empty, but they're not really sure what that means. And people are saying that he rose from the dead, and some people are saying that his body's been stolen. Some people are saying he never actually died, which is really hard to believe if you had seen what happened that Friday. And then there's this story that Luke sandwiches right in the middle of chapter 24. And it's the story of these two people who go for a walk. Verse 13, here's what Luke records. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. I love Jesus' sarcasm here, by the way. It gives me hope for myself. "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles. He was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who'd come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago." Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, that they'd seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the woman had said. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe that all the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And by this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey, and Jesus acted as if he was going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us. Since it's getting late, just stay with us." So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took bread, he blessed it, then he broke it and gave it to them. And suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. And they said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" They look at each other and are like, "Man, when he was talking and saying all these things, something was happening in us. Was it happening to you as well?" Verse 33, and within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who'd gathered with them, who said, "The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter." Then the two from Emmaus told their story about Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. I want you this morning to put yourself in the shoes of these two people walking to Emmaus. They have devoted months, possibly years, to following Jesus. It's possible they've been away from their homes for up to 3 years if they've learned from Jesus and they've believed him to be who he said he was, the Messiah, come to save the world from sin and evil. They have banked their entire future on him and his promises. All of their hope and expectation is in Jesus fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament that they have heard their entire lives. They watched as Jesus did battle with the other religious leaders of the time. They obeyed his instructions to be sacrificial in all that they do. They likely left behind family and friends to follow Jesus. They went on, all in on who he says he is and what he has said he would do. And then Friday. On Friday, they watched as Jesus was placed on trial. They watched as the crowds changed their cheers from Hosanna, Hosanna, to crucify him, crucify him. They watched as Jesus was whipped and tortured publicly. They watched as a crown of thorns to mock him was placed upon his head. They watched as their savior, their leader, carried his own instrument of death to the top of Golgotha to be crucified. They watched as people spit on him and mocked him and threw garbage at him. They heard the nails driven into his wrists and into his feet. They saw him lifted up on a cross, bleeding and in anguish, and they heard his final words. It is finished, as he breathed his last breath and died. When these two woke up on Saturday morning, they were shell-shocked, sad, and I have to believe, mad. Everything they hoped would happen ended in the most improbable of ways. Jesus was supposed to be the Messiah. He was supposed to set everything right. He was supposed to make everything better. He was supposed to bring Israel and the people of God back to world prominence and overturn the worldly rulers like the Roman Empire. But instead, on Saturday morning, he was dead. The dreams and the hopes they had for all their lives had all but vanished. It was over. And as they walk home, back to the place they never thought they would have to return, they are asking more questions than ever. They must have thought that their best days were behind them. Have you ever been there before? Where you placed all your eggs in one basket, pun intended. Some of you got that. The rest of you will get it on your way home. You place all your eggs on one basket and you only just, all your hopes and all your dreams were there and you watched as things crumbled before your eyes. You had a dream for your life. You had hopes for your life and for one reason or another, it just fell apart. You had so many hopes and dreams for your marriage, but it fractured and it crumbled and it eventually fell apart. You had a dream for your career and it never panned out. You hoped you would always have a good relationship with your family, but you know what? You haven't spoken to them in years. You hoped your faith would sustain you through even the toughest season, but you know what? Right now, you're wondering if you believe any of it anymore. You hoped you'd be in good health for far longer than has been true. You had dreamed that your kids would turn out a certain way, but now you're riddled with the guilt and shame because they're off the rails. Dashed dreams and hopes is part of what it means to be human. It doesn't take long in this life to know that not everything you hope for or dream for will turn out. You know, no matter what anybody tells you, if you hear somebody say to you, if you just put your mind to it and you just believe enough, your dreams will come true. All of us in this room can say, no, it doesn't. That's not how life works. We live in a broken, fractured world. And dreams and hopes, they often break and crumble and fall to the ground. But into the dashed dreams and hopes of these two people who, quite honestly, are walking away saddened and wondering what is next for them. Into the dashed dreams and hopes of these two people walking to Emmaus comes a promise neither of them could ever have imagined. To their surprise, that stranger walking with them to Emmaus was the very one they had placed all their hopes in a few days earlier. And when they finally realize it's Jesus, when their eyes are open to recognize who he really is, their hope is restored. The walk these two took on that Sunday afternoon was truly life-changing for them, because it was there that they realized the loss of Friday had been upstaged by the hope of Sunday. And that truth changed them in such a way that they would do an about-face and they would head back to where they had come. I am fully aware that many of you have walked into this place carrying the pain and the loss and the hurt of many Fridays. The hopes and the dreams you once had have been dashed. They've been torn apart. Life did not turn out the way you thought it would. And you walked into Genesis Church this morning, maybe not even realizing just how devastated you are about where your life has ended up. And I know you are in pain. I know you're mad. I know you're hurting. I have been there many times over myself. But here's what the story of this walk in the Bible teaches us about Easter Sunday. That in the midst of our dashed dreams and hopelessness is a God who meets us right where we are. Did you notice? Jesus isn't mad at these two. He's not like, how could you, what are you, a bunch of idiots? Like, didn't you read the Bible? This was supposed to happen this way. Why do you have such little faith? He doesn't say any of that. He simply walks with them. And he listens to them, and he asks them questions, and then at just the right time, he reveals himself to them to remind them, I'm still here. I am alive. I know that Friday was heartbreaking, but there is hope because of Sunday. Now listen, I don't know what you think of God. There's a lot of thoughts around God and who God is, if there's a God. You know, I'm not sure if you believe that God is just some angry tyrant who gets his jollies out of seeing us so miserable, or if you believe God is just some figment of our imagination. I don't know. But regardless, I want you to know this morning that the one true living God is the one who defeated sin, Satan, and death on the cross and was resurrected from death 3 days later so that your hope could be restored. And I want you to know, Jesus is not just some figment of our imaginations or some story that was conjured up to blind the masses. Because Jesus has been restoring hopes and dreams for billions of people for thousands of years. This is not a one-time thing that ended 2,000 years ago. It is still happening. There is a room full of people here who could come up here one by one and tell you the ways in which the living Jesus has restored hope to dashed and broken dreams in their life. He has been meeting people in the midst of their dashed dreams in the same way he met these two on the road to Emmaus since he rose from the grave. And he is here this morning. He is meeting you here this morning. You may seem feel invisible or unseen. God sees you this morning. He sees all of your Fridays. He sees all of the pain and all of the hurt, all of the disappointment, all of the struggle, all of the anger. He sees you. He is here with you. And he is lovingly encouraging and challenging you to stop walking in the loss of Friday and start walking in the hope of Sunday. Let me read that again. Jesus is here to encourage you. Stop walking in the loss of all of the Fridays that have happened in your life and start walking in the hope of the truth of Sunday, that I am alive and I am with you and I am walking with you and I see you this morning. Jesus is fully aware of all of the nasty things that have happened in your life. He knows the sin. He knows the shame. He knows the trauma that keeps you up at night. He knows all of the hopes and dreams you once had that have crumbled to the ground. He knows the very circumstances you are walking through right now. And yet, he is still there with you. He has not left your side. because he loves you too much. Let me say that again. He loves you too much to allow you to keep walking in the loss of your Fridays in the same way the two on the road to Emmaus were walking in the loss of that Friday. Because Friday, as good as it was, is nothing in comparison to Sunday. Years after this walk to Emmaus, the Apostle Paul would pen these words about Easter Sunday. And he would say this, "And if Christ has not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless and your faith is useless." If Christ is not raised, then what are we doing here? If Christ is not raised, then boy, I took the wrong career path. If we only walk in what happens in our Fridays, if Jesus is still dead, well then, Paul says, all hope is lost. He didn't win. We are as hopeless as the two walking to Emmaus before they meet Jesus. But what we know from Scripture, what we know from this story is that Friday didn't have the last word. Sunday was always the plan, and Friday doesn't have the last word on your life either. Whatever Fridays you have walked through, the loss that you have experienced, it does not have to determine your future. So stop walking in the loss of Friday and start walking in the hope of Sunday. I love that lyric, "Friday's good, but Sunday's coming." Don't lose hope because Sunday is coming. And Jesus gave everything on Friday to forgive us and redeem us of all the sin and shame and junk in our lives. But that wasn't the end of the story. And it's not the end of your story. Sunday has come. Jesus, the risen Jesus, wants to walk with you in the hope of Sunday. He is inviting you here, right now, to see him for who he really is. With all of your doubts and all of your fears, to see him as the Savior, the Messiah, the Comforter, he's encouraging you to stop walking in the loss of Friday and start walking in the hope of Sunday, to put your faith in him and him alone, to see only what he can do in your life. The world and everything in it will continue to disappoint, but because of Easter, because of the resurrection, Jesus never will. And so, if you're here this morning, I'm asking you, will you take that step? Because I want to pray with you right now, and I want you to be courageous in this place. I know that the Spirit of God is nudging you. He's urging you, come to me, walk to me, turn to me, believe in me, have faith in me, walk in the hope of Sunday, because the resurrection has come. So will you pray with me? And pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I am tired of walking in the loss of all of my Fridays. I'm sick of living a life filled with sin and shame and hopelessness. I believe you overcame all of that and defeated sin, Satan, and death through your death on the cross. And I believe you are now alive, meeting me right here where I am. I place my faith in you, my leader and my Savior. I give my life to you. I am tired of trying to do it all on my own. From this day forward, I choose to believe in and follow you. If you prayed that simple prayer this morning, the Bible says that the Spirit of God has taken residence in your life, that a new life has begun for you this morning. And we want to celebrate with you. In fact, I'm going to be out in the lobby by those VIP tables. And if you prayed that prayer this morning, would you please come talk to me? I just want to encourage you, pray for you today and in the coming weeks. And for all of us this Easter, it is my prayer that we will continue to walk in the hope of Sunday, because Friday wasn't the end.